This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support from Jerry Lane Chevrolet and from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. In studio is Tom Aswell, the well-versed and longstanding reporter from the great hamlet of Ruston, who calls this area home now. And he has been the publisher of Louisiana Voice, one of the must-go places for the political class. How many years now, Tom?
11 years.
11 years. And he covers stories that others do not, mainly because he's his own guy. He reports to nobody but Thomas Aswell.
Well, that's my wife.
Well, I guess that's important, too. I'm sure it is. That's what I hear. 877-217-5757 is your number. In talk at talklouisiana.org. And when previewing this, I mentioned we were going to talk about some state issues. But before we get there, yesterday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill that would recognize same-sex marriages at the federal level. Also, it would protect interracial marriage, the Respect for Marriage Act, and 47 Republicans joined 220 Democrats. But Garrett Graves didn't join the 47 Republicans. Steve Scalise didn't. Clay Higgins didn't. Mike Johnson didn't. Julia Letlow didn't. And they're all running for re-election, and they will be qualifying in the next few days as qualifying begins today at the Secretary of State's office. And a few days ago, the same U.S. House of Representatives, on a closer vote, 223 to 205, 220 Democrats and three Republicans, voted in favor of a measure that would protect women who cross state lines to get an abortion. Now, once again, our delegation, Graves, Scalise, Higgins, Letlow, Johnson, all voted no, except for Troy Carter, the Democrat. So, Tom Aswell, our delegation has to be one of the most conservative in the country.
They are, and that bothers me. It upsets me to see them towing a party line and not voting for the right thing or for what's right. That bothers me a lot.
Well, in the Senate, these bills are probably dead on arrival because you need 60 votes.
Right.
And so it's window dressing. And Bill Cassidy went so far as to call the same-sex and interracial marriage protection. He called it silly. He called the legislation silly. And here's a guy who is looking at running for governor, and if he did so, I think he would probably run as a moderate. He's not moderate on this.
He would have to run as a moderate. You're correct. No, he's not, and I don't understand that. I'm about as straight a person as you'll find, but it just doesn't bother me what other people do in the privacy of their own homes. It does not bother me.
Well, it should be their business, I would think.
Exactly.
This is America.
That is exactly right. Yeah.
It's consensual.
That's correct.
And it's not involving underage people.
That is correct.
Then if it's good for two people, then they're not hurting each other, and then God bless them. I'm into happiness.
That's the way I feel too, Jim. And when we fall into a pattern of trying to dictate people's private lives like that, I think we've gone too far down mm-hmm. that road.
I remember Jay Young. You remember the journalist Jay Young? He was an anchor here, went off to CNN, came back, and had drug issues and died in 2006, a friend of mine. I love Jay Young. Good writer, too. He said that Ken Starr, when he was prosecuting Bill Clinton, was depriving him of his constitutional right to the pursuit of happiness.
There's some merit to that.
That is an argument the former president did not.
And I don't know if you saw the story about the weatherman in New Orleans who got the hate email. He's gay. And somebody called him a faggot in an email because he got a weather forecast wrong.
Well.
And we're going too far, Jim. We've become a society of hate. This country, it just seems like we have to have somebody to hate.
Well, and on these social network sites where people can attack others anonymously,
right?
they really let it all hang out, and they have don't have the courage to indicate who they are.
That's correct. Fortunately, and this is encouraging, is the response from the viewers of that TV station were overwhelming in their support of the weatherman, and I was glad to see that.
Well, that's good. And I think, on the whole, we live in a great country with great people, but there are some bad apples, and sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Absolutely.
And the people who are yelling and screaming and bloviating. Most of the country is in favor of a woman's right to have an abortion, but yet here we are. How did that happen, Tom Aswell?
Well, the evangelicals have taken over the politics in this country. They have absolutely taken it over.
I agree. They had controlled the Supreme Court.
Yep.
And one of those who has been at the forefront, and he's a nice guy, by the way, and a Marine, and he has a tattoo, Tony Perkins.
He's got a tattoo?
He has a tattoo, yes.
Wow.
Yes, when he ran for the U.S. Senate in 2002 with Susie Terrell and Mary Landrieu and John Cooksey, he was the only tattooed candidate.
Wow.
Tony Perkins, he has a tattoo.
That I didn't know.
But now he's been head of the Family Research Council for many years. And as I stated, he is a nice man, and he's a true believer. He really believes what he says.
I have no fault in someone having convictions.
Well, he isn't pulling an act like some people, as we know, who change parties and do things they have to do to...
You mean with the initials of John Kennedy?
Well, I didn't say that.
I did.
But you did. You're right. But he now is he's making waves at the Family Research Council, and Tom Aswell, to my knowledge, is the only Louisiana reporter covering it. What's going on there?
Well, he's been designated officially as a church by the Internal Revenue Service, our Family Research Council has, which I think is ridiculous.
A church?
Yeah, church, yeah.
Family Research Council.
And I wrote a column mm-hmm. about it, and one of my readers responded with a rhetorical question that I thought was very appropriate. Mm-hmm. They said, if my family gathers around the dinner table and says prayer before we eat, can we be designated as a church and be tax exempt? Now, the Family Research Council, to clarify, mm-hmm. was already tax exempt. They're a nonprofit. So that's not the issue. The issue is just designating them as a church, which I think is absurd.
I remember, I think it was 2014, so it was 8 years ago. I'm walking on 7th Street in Washington, D.C., and I hear this voice, Jim Inkster. And I look behind me, it's Tony Perkins. He says, come with me. And so we go to his office, which is about a block away. We're across the street from the Smithsonian, by the way. Mm. And he has the most amazing television and radio studio you can imagine. He does a daily show. It goes nationwide to people of his ilk.
Right.
And he's done well, the man from Baker, Louisiana. And you know what? If he had run for Congress at a certain time in that 6th district, he would have won.
Oh, yeah.
He would have won the year Garrett Graves ran.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And I asked him why he didn't. In fact, this was the year. It was 2014. He said, because I got a better job where I am now. And that being head of the FRC, as you call it, is a pretty sweet gig, isn't it? If you're a conservative, and he is a true conservative.
Yeah, yeah, that is a sweet job. It's good job security. Yeah.
But he did laugh. He said he was giving a speech in Michigan a few months prior to that, and he said the first question from a young person was, Mr. Perkins, is it true you have a tattoo? He says, you must be listening to Jim Inkster. And he said, will you stop that? So I want everybody to know Tony Perkins does have a tattoo on his arm that he received when he was in the U.S. Marine Corps.
What is a tattoo of?
It's a Marine insignia. It's a very nice tattoo.
Okay.
And it looks, it's fashionable. And he was a man ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Cutting edge.
Well, not in getting tattoos. I mean, most Marines get them at some point.
He got them.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, in the dark ages on gays in the military, for example. I remember him saying at the press club, I don't want to be in the foxhole with a gay guy. And that is unbelievable that this would be something that would be a concern.
Very close-minded.
Close-minded. Yep. But as you say, the evangelical wing of the Republican Party, and it's not even a majority of the Republican Party, I don't think, but they have played the game well,
yep.
And they now control the U.S. Supreme Court. And ultimately, all these major issues of the day, they land at the footsteps of the Supreme Court, or the doorstep of the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. Let me ask you something, Jim. I'll interview you here. Do you think there's a chance that the Supreme Court may be packed at some point?
As far as increased in membership?
Correct.
I don't think the votes are there to do it.
Oh, I don't think so
either. Otherwise, I think the Democrats would do it.
Well, maybe. I guess it depends on who's in the White House. But I think that's...
Well, it is ironic that Democrats have won the overall vote in seven of the last eight presidential elections, mm-hmm. going back to 1992.
Yeah.
And yet, of the nine justices who were nominated by presidents, seven of them were nominated and approved by Republican.
Well, we'll see how two of them got blocked, so by Mitch McConnell.
We'll be back with more from Tom Aswell after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing, and in studio for another segment is Tom Aswell, who I call Dan Moldea, the intrepid reporter in Washington, D.C., that term, and I think Tom's description should also include intrepid reporter. You've been doing this a long time, haven't you, Tom?
Yeah, for about 50 years.
50 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, newspapers today are such that reporters cover lots of stories. There really isn't an assigned beat. And Mark Ballard may have the assigned beat of the Capitol, but it's a big Capitol with a lot of stories. And the staffs are smaller. I've noted that when Edwin Edwards was governor, when he would walk out the door, 25 people would converge on him. Most of them were covering him all the time.
Right, right.
But now, when Governor Edwards, the new governor has been there 7 years, comes out, just a few reporters, and many of those are covering lots of other things. So the ability to unearth stories is limited to some extent.
Oh, absolutely. And cutting back staff is a tragedy of what's happened to newspapers. The Shreveport Times is a good example. One of my friends was in Shreveport, and she was inquiring about an election date. There was an election coming up, and she called the paper to ask a question about it. The reporter was unaware that there was even an election. And the reporter called my friend back and said, "Can I come interview you?" And that is just sad that our newspapers have sunk to that level. And it's an economic thing, I know, but it's something I hate to see, because I'm an old newspaper purist. I grew up in newspapers, and I love the job, and what's happened to them is just tragedy to me.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org for Tom Aswell. And a reminder that if you miss part of the show or want to share it with others, you can listen to today's show online anytime, wrkf.org, or on the NPR One app, or subscribe to Talk Louisiana on Google Podcasts. But Tom Aswell is also covering the tragic story of one Karen Carter Peterson, who was a brilliant person who was headed probably for great things, and she did become chair of the Democratic Party 10 years ago, and now revelations are such that we know, based on her own admission, that she took money from the party to feed a gambling habit. Now, this is an addiction, but stealing is also a crime, and she has a court appearance on August 1st. What do you think will happen?
I don't think she'll serve a day. If it were you or I, in that circumstance, I think we would be headed for jail time, but I don't think she'll serve a day.
Probably not.
They said she's made restitution of $50,000. I don't know how much she's accused of taking, but I've done stories about her leadership of the State Democratic Party for years now, and I found her lacking at all levels. She stacked the board with her membership, and then had the board approve her an annual stipend of, I think, $38,000. Parish executive committees memberships went unfilled all over the state. They were begging her to fill these slots, and she didn't do it. She single-handedly practically destroyed the State Democratic Party in Louisiana.
But her defenders will say, look, under her watch, Democrats won two governor's races. one Democrat did.
That's true. But I also think that Governor Edwards desperately wanted her out but could not take the action to do it.
More likely did not.
Right.
Because of the political consequences.
Exactly.
And the governor will be with us today at 2 o'clock for his monthly visit, Ask the Governor. Yep. Now, speaking of Edwards as governor, we had Trina Edwards in the same seat you're in a few days ago.
I heard the show.
She is the widow of our dear former governor, Edwin Washington Edwards.
My friend, yeah.
And his closest friend, perhaps, John Alario.
Yep.
Who is 78 years old, is... he's in the throes of a passionate romance with Trina, who's 43, and it seems to be working, Tom.
Well, the man is the same age as I am, and I would caution him to tread carefully. Because I'm 78. I'll be 79 later this in October.
Well, he'll be 79 in September.
Okay, he'll beat me by a month.
Yeah.
As I said, be careful.
Well, Francis Thompson, longest-serving lawmaker in Louisiana history, who is running for re-election, by the way, next year.
Of course he is.
And he is 80 and looks great, by the way.
Yeah. As long as he can draw a breath, he'll run for re-election.
He'll be with us tomorrow. And he did say to me on the phone yesterday, he said, you know, Jim, France, or he says, John does have a pacemaker.
You do a good imitation, Francis.
The man from Delhi.
Yep.
And he is a survivor and a real character. Dr. Francis Thompson, by the way.
Yes, he is. And he had a brother who's since passed away, Clyde Thompson, who was my swimming coach at Louisiana Tech when I took a swimming class in phys ed. And the first day in that class, we were all lined up on the bank of the pool, and he says, does anybody know how to jump in the pool feet first and not go underwater? Well, like an idiot, I raised my hand. He said, okay, show us, Aswell. So I spread my hands out, and I jumped in, and I scissored my legs just like you're supposed to. It's textbook. And I stayed above water. It was perfect. And he turned to another student, and he says, okay, Gallet, you try it. Well, Gallet didn't tell him that he couldn't swim.
Ooh.
And Gallet jumped in and went right to the bottom and came up sputtering and spitting and went down again, came up the second time. Clyde Thompson said, boy, you drowning? He says, yes, sir, and went under again. Clyde had to jump in and pull him out. But by the end of the quarter, that Gallet could swim as well as any of us.
There you go.
But that was a funny story.
Okay. Surprise Republican candidate Holden Hoggett is challenging U.S. Representative Clay Higgins in the 3rd District. And this could be notable. This guy, Hoggett, is a substantial man. And Higgins, for whatever reason, he hasn't been dialing for dollars the way the aforementioned John Kennedy does. John Kennedy's got $28 million in the bank. Clay Higgins has $250,000.
Wow.
I think he's still the favorite in this race. But if a Democrat gets in that race with Hoggett, a Republican, who is a moderate Republican, could be a race.
I don't think he needs a Democrat in there. Higgins has not passed or even introduced a single piece of legislation in the 4 years he's been in office, or 3 years. And that can work against him. I know it worked against, what was his name up in St. Francisville years ago when...
John Rarick?
Yeah, when Rarick. Rarick had never introduced any legislation, and that worked against him when he got beat.
John in South Baton Rouge. John, you're on the air with Tom Aswell. Hi, John.
Hey, Jim. Great to hear the show today. Always enjoy it. I got a question, though. You ready? You keep saying the evangelicals are running the country, correct?
Well, I said it just a few minutes ago. I said they control the Supreme Court, which basically runs the country.
Well, I'm with you, except for I'm looking at the numbers, and I don't see any evangelicals on the Supreme Court. Help me.
Well, I think they're Roman Catholics, but believe me, the Catholic Church is a big tent, too. I'm a member, and the ones who are on there are quite evangelical, other than John Roberts. He's, I think, a moderate Christian, but the others, Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, all of them I would consider to be highly evangelical.
At least cater to the evangelicals.
Right, I would. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being evangelical, but there are other people who are evangelical who believe that their beliefs should not transcend to everybody in the world, that their beliefs are their beliefs, and other people have beliefs that are valid too.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm not what you would call an evangelical, but yes.
But and Gorsuch also is in that camp. He's a Protestant, so that's five of them right there. And if you get five Supreme Court justices,
you've got it.
It's game, set, match.
Yep.
It's over.
Yep.
It's over. I heard the New York Times had an editorial the other day saying Roberts should resign. Well, what good would that do? It's not a 5-4 situation now. It's a 6-3 situation, or occasionally 5-4.
Yeah.
But Tom, always great to talk with you. Let's keep it going. Congratulations, 11 years of a Louisiana Voice, and we'll be back with Tyler Bridges after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting and Jerry Lane Chevrolet. And Tyler Bridges is with us, the Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for The Advocate and Picayune, who covers Louisiana politics like few other people, if anybody else. And he's been doing it now for well over three decades and has written some prominent books, and a big one coming in a few months. And we'll talk with him about that before we part company. But qualifying for statewide office began today, and that includes every election on the ballot. And most notably, U.S. Senate and congressional races. And today, U.S. Senator John Neely Kennedy did qualify early, got to the Secretary of State's office there, and Louisiana Radio Network News Director Jeff Palermo was there. And the first question was, are you going to debate your opponents? And Tyler Bridges, Senator Kennedy's answer was, no, I'm not going to debate. I'm too busy, too busy. He didn't debate Foster Campbell 6 years ago, and he's not going to debate his opponents this time. And he, as we know, John Kennedy is a man who speaks pretty well. But this is not any great revelation, is it, Tyler?
Yeah, it would be disappointing if Senator Kennedy ended up following that. He did, I'll point out, engage in at least one debate during the primary. Actually, I guess it was a couple. I mean, I particularly remember the one at Dillard University where David Duke appeared and it caused a tumult outside. You know, he's sort of, I guess, taking the traditional incumbent strategy of, you know, but I think, you know, for democracy, especially because of COVID, John, we haven't seen a lot of Senator Kennedy in our state facing the public. So this would be a good opportunity for him to face questions and speak directly to the public on issues of public concern.
John Kennedy was elected to the U.S. Senate 6 years ago. He succeeded David Bruce Vitter in 2016. He had tried to become a senator twice before, losing in 2004 to Vitter and to Chris John. He finished third. He was the most liberal candidate in that race. And then in 2008, he ran as a moderate Republican and lost to Mary Landrieu. And then in 2016, then the reason he had debated in the primary, of course, was because he was trying to get the Republican nod, and he had company on the Republican side, and he actually didn't beat Charlie Bustani by a whole lot of votes to get into the runoff with Foster Campbell. And Charles Bustani, of course, would have been a guy who probably would have won that election, and he would have been probably more moderate than Senator Kennedy. But Kennedy has now he has showcased his Republican credentials, Tyler, to the point where it doesn't look like he's going to get an opponent from the right.
Yeah, of course, we don't know. We've got two more days of qualifying after today. There could be a surprise, of course, but yeah, right now that race is shaping up to be Senator Kennedy facing two Democrats who have raised some money, Gary Chamber, who's already qualified this morning at the Secretary of State's office, and then and Luke Mixon, the former fighter pilot who has been endorsed by John Bel Edwards.
John Bel Edwards has his show today, Ask the Governor, and John Bell has indicated that he may have run his last race, and there was some speculation that he might have run against Kennedy, and that would be a race of note. John Bell Edwards only has a year left on his term. If he wanted to go to Washington, this would be an opportunity, but he decided not to pull the trigger, and John Kennedy decided not to run against him in 2019, and I have a feeling that, and I don't know this is me, nobody's told me this, but it looks like an arrangement very similar to the one that Russell Long and Edwin Edwards had, and both of them once told me, both of them, that they would never be in the same race at the same time, and sometimes people do agree to stay away from each other, and maybe that happened, I don't know, but at one time, as we know, Tyler, Kennedy and Edwards were at each other tooth and nail, and that's kind of abated in recent years.
Yeah, they seem to have reached some sort of level of detente, but I never saw John Bell Edwards running for the Senate. You know, and I asked him about that before the legislative session began, about him possibly leaving to take a job in Washington, and he said to me that this is a great time for him to be governor because all of this federal money is coming down, and he's got a lot of money to spend to try to implement his priorities on road projects and things like that. And I'm sure he'll spend the next year, mm-hmm. Will Governor Edwards inaugurated projects around the state, and then he'll be in a political retirement.
Well, as I noted, I get gobs of emails from Kennedy, several a day, and the latest one is that, friend, the socialists in the Senate have gotten so crooked you can't tell from their tracks if they're coming or going. They're never taking responsibility for the mess they put this country in. Why would they, when they pass the buck and blame Russia, oil companies, and the pandemic for their poor policy decisions? You and I can hold these radical leftists accountable come November at the ballot box. I won't lie. I'll be as difficult as putting socks on a rooster, but you can be by my side and we can save this country. God bless John Kennedy. So a lot of red meat there, and he's raised $28 million. These emails seem to be working for him, Tyler Bridges.
Yeah, Senator Kennedy has got a huge war chest at this point that far dwarfs the $1 million that both Luke Mixon and Gary Chambers have raised so far. And certainly I get those same emails, Jim, and Senator Kennedy certainly does go over the top with his language. You notice that he's always talking about them and they without identifying who them and they are. I think it would be hard to describe exactly who is a radical senator. It'd be interesting to try to find out who that might be. And certainly just I noticed that the House has now approved a law federalizing same-sex marriage. It'd be interesting to see if that comes to a vote in the Senate. Where does Senator Kennedy stand on that?
Well, I suspect he would vote, I don't know, but I suspect he would vote the same way that Garrett Graves did in the House and that Steve Scalise did and Julia Ledlow and Mike Johnson and Clay Higgins, and that would be no. And even Cassidy, who has shown, as we know, a propensity to break ranks, he calls the bill silly, so... I don't think Senator Kennedy is going to hop on board on that one, but he has supporters. We are in a state, as we know, in which the white people voted 85% for Donald Trump twice, and the people in this state are highly for Trump, and Kennedy has received the endorsement of former President Donald Trump. I would think, though, that Trump will not be coming here unless there's a runoff, and if no Republican gets in, Tyler, the chances of a runoff seem to be slim and perhaps none.
Well, I'll tell you, Jim, I always keep in mind an open mind as a reporter, but certainly the national handicappers are forecasting that Senator Kennedy will win a second six-year term this year. You know, again, he does have President Trump's endorsement. He has he's running in a state where no Democrat has been elected to the Senate since 2008, and he has a very solid conservative voting record. It'd be interesting to see whether there's potentially any blowback from his vote on January 6th,
to not certify the electors, given the revelations that are coming out from the congressional hearings in Washington.
And, of course, Graves voted that way as well, as did Scalise, as did Johnson, as did Higgins. Gustavo in Goodwood says, get ready, the country will be red in November. We're tired of all the woke CRT race-baiting morons and the rest that try to impose their way of living on us. We're tired of Pelosi, Schumer, Nadler, Maxine, and the rest who are not only corrupt but intent on making the good people of this great nation bend the knee. The SCOTUS has spoken. We're taking our country back. That from Gustavo. And Gustavo's sentiments are not unique to Gustavo. I would say he speaks for a lot of people in Louisiana who just don't like the other side a whole lot, Tyler.
Well, absolutely, Jim. As we both know, this is a conservative state. It's Republicans now control both the House and the Senate. They control every statewide office except the governorship, and they and both senators are Republican, and every member of the congressional delegation except for Troy Carter, who represents New Orleans and up the river to Baton Rouge.
877-217-5757 is your number. Let's go to Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Let me get my speaker.
Yeah. All right,
good
Phil.
Morning, gentlemen. Hi. Yes, can you see any effect that the hearings are having on our political goobers?
All right. What about the impact of the hearings? They're getting a lot of people watching, but are the people watching those who are having their opinions reinforced, or is it actually changing any minds, Tyler?
I've seen a little bit of national polling on it. I haven't seen anything in Louisiana, but national polling, I think, shows that there is some impact. You know, it does seem that partisan attitudes are pretty fixed for both Republicans and Democrats. But the movable group, I guess, would be independents and maybe some moderate Republicans. And perhaps given the closeness of the electorate, it doesn't require much of a movement for it to be a benefit to the Democrats.
877-217-5757. Talk at talklouisiana.org as we spend some more time with Tyler Bridges, Pulitzer Prize winning reporter. A message from Patrick in Innisfail Estate, who says Kennedy will be a reelected senator, then elected governor. And once he becomes governor, he will appoint a good senator. Kudos to Gustavo, writes Patrick McCarran. We'll be back with Tyler Bridges. Again, your number 877-217-5757. And is this a prelude to running for governor of the great state of Louisiana for John Neely Kennedy? Or could he be running for president of the United States in 2 years? We'll talk more with Tyler. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is producing, and we're joined for a few more moments by Tyler Bridges, the exceptional reporter who spends a lot of time in New Orleans and in Baton Rouge covering Louisiana politics. And this is a day of significance, the start of qualifying. It will conclude on Friday, and by then we will know who the candidates are in all the congressional races and for U.S. Senate and many other races across Louisiana. And the congressional races are going to be run as the legislature intended, not the way Judge Shelley Dix said they should have been run based on the Voting Rights Act. So we'll see as court challenges evolve whether any changes will be in the offing. But right now, it's an environment extremely favorable to the incumbents who are running, and we'll talk with Tyler about that in a moment. But what about Kennedy doing a hop, skip, and a jump and getting reelected to the Senate and then jumping in the governor's race? Do you think that's a possibility, Tyler Bridges?
Well, Jim, certainly it's a possibility. We always see this, the musings of a senator getting into the governor's race. It only has happened, I think, once when David Vitter, as you so well remember, ran for governor in 2015. Obviously, it didn't go well for him. I think obviously the governor's race is the big race in Louisiana, far more interesting to the public than the Senate race that we have underway. But I don't think we're going to see really a clear idea of who's running for governor until after the midterm elections this year. And we're going to find out whether the Republicans indeed take control of the House and the Senate. And then I think the biggest question at that point will be whether Senator Kennedy, assuming he's reelected, is going to run for governor. He is the most popular politician in the state. So I think he gets the first decision. My personal guess is that he will not run for governor, that he's going to continue in the Senate, assuming he wins this year.
Well, he would have a lot of advantages if he ran for governor, and money being one of them, name recognition, and he's popular in the state. He's not popular with people on the left side of the spectrum, but people on the left don't comprise a majority in our state. And also his cohort, who he's not particularly close to, Bill Cassidy, he is looking at running for governor. In the end, one might run. It's doubtful that both will. But what about Cassidy?
Well, my sense, Jim, is that the Senator Kennedy sort of makes the first decision whether he runs or not. And assuming he doesn't run, then Senator Cassidy is the next person, and then we'll see what Congressman Graves does. Being in Washington is the elect make fun of it, but being a U.S. senator is a very powerful position, and you have a lot of influence and a lot of respect. So I would guess that they would both stay in the Senate, but then again, I didn't think David Vitter was going to run to be governor.
You didn't?
I did not think he was going to run to be governor. I thought that he would still be in the Senate if he had chosen to stay there. But for some reason, staying in the Senate was not what he wanted to do.
Well, and governor is a plum, and as we know, many of these people, as outrageous as it might seem, they have grandeur of being president of the United States, and it is an advantage to be a governor. George Bush was a governor. Bill Clinton was a governor. Ronald Reagan was a governor. It is something that is a help when you're running for president of the United States. But more recently, we've had senators in Biden, who was a senator before he was vice president, and Barack Obama, who was elected from the Senate. So it's a pretty good gig, and you get a 6-year term in Washington. And I think you're right, Tyler, that if David Vitter had stayed put, he would still be in the United States Senate.
Yeah, and again, there are hundreds of elected officials in Louisiana that would just absolutely love to be in the Senate. But there is a poll about being governor, because certainly the governor has a more direct influence in our lives. The governor gets a lot more attention. And it just seems to be the job that most people in politics, Louisiana, ultimately aspire to.
And if either Kennedy or Cassidy were elected governor, they would get to appoint a successor to themselves in the U.S. Senate, which would be quite a plum. And there would be a number of people vying for that. And you might be surprised at who would get the job, but it is something that is out there if one of them is elected governor of Louisiana. Now, as a political junkie, I think a great race would be between the two U.S. senators, but we already have several statewide officials who are all but announced, three of them who held offices right now in Billy Nungesser, Jeff Landry, and John Schroeder. I don't know how many people a governor's race can take, Tyler. How many big names?
Yeah, well, certainly in the past, Jim, there have been very big fields, and usually when there's an open seat, and this looks like the 2023 race will be one of those where there is going to be a big field. The one thing that we don't talk very much about is who might run on the Democratic side. It seems that we would come up with a long list of Republicans, but it seems like it's a much shorter list of Democrats who might run.
Well, in 15, when it was an open seat, it was in the race John Bel Edwards, David Vitter, Scott Angel, Jay Darden. And in 2007, when it was an open seat, because Kathleen Blanco chose not to run, it was Bobby Jindal, Foster Campbell, Walter Blasso, and John Georges. So the 15 race was one that had four people who, if things had gone right for them, any one of the four could have won, and they went really right for John Bel Edwards. But a listener asks, or have we seen the last Democratic governor in modern time?
You know, Jim, it's just so hard to make predictions. Certainly, this is a Republican state, but Massachusetts and Maryland have had Republican governors, and those are Democratic states. And certainly, John Bel Edwards was a long shot candidate, which is the title of my book on that race with Jeremy Alford. And not many people expected him to win. So I think we can guess that the next governor is likely to be a Republican. But who knows down the road? We do get surprised in politics, right? Not many people thought Donald Trump would be elected president even on the election day of 2016.
Well, personality often trumps, pardon the pun, everything else. And in Louisiana, personality has always been a big part of our political process. And we do have a penchant in our state for electing people named Edwards as governor who are Democrats. And how about Trina Edwards? What about her? Would she make a good candidate, Tyler Bridges?
Well, after being on your radio show a week ago and announcing her public relationship with the former Senate President John Alario, and even saying that she would accept a marriage proposal, I would guess that she would direct her attention to that. Certainly, it would be hard to see what her qualifications are to be governor.
Well, some would say she's as qualified as Jimmy Davis was. We could go down the list, but nonetheless, this is serious business. And if she were to marry John Alario, he would certainly provide extremely wise counsel to her as the leader of our state. But that has not happened yet. And to my knowledge, Trina Edwards is not testing the waters. So I'm not saying that she is considering it. I don't think she is, but it would be a fun race to cover. And I'm told your story last week, Tyler, after this show, when you interviewed John Alario after I had talked with Trina, it's the most read story this year in The Advocate online. I think somebody from The Advocate told me that. It is amazing what people are fascinated by.
Yeah, certainly, you have all the elements with Edwin Edwards. You interviewed her on the one-year anniversary of his death at 93. She's 43. Alario is 78 years old. And as she said to you, obviously, I have a type.
And John Alario is he's an extremely nice man, talented man, and a successful person. So I would think that if the two get together, she made a good choice, and I'm sure he's extremely happy to have her in his life because she is a vibrant individual, no doubt about it. She lights up a room. But Tyler Bridges, you've got a big book coming in a few months. Tyler is from California. He went to Stanford University. And in 1982, 40 years ago this November, one of the great games, perhaps the most unusual finish in college football history, happened when Stanford played Cal in the final college game of one John Elway. And it will all be depicted in a book by one Tyler Bridges. It's coming like in 2 months, isn't it?
Yeah, November 1st. And I got to disagree with you, Jim. You said it might be the most unique ending. Well, we're calling it the single wildest finish ever to a game in the history of college football. The book is called Five Laterals and a Trombone. It's coming out November 1st. People can pre-order it on Amazon. And yeah, John Elway, I write about him in the book. In fact, he has written one of the two forewords for the book. Stanford versus Cal. It's kind of like Auburn versus Alabama game. It's a big deal out in California, but again, that ending was so unique. It had never happened before and it will never happen since.
All right, we do have to roll, but it's Five Laterals and a Trombone from Tyler Bridges. And we'll be talking with Tyler soon, I hope. Signature support for First Financial Tax and Accounting and Jerry Lane Chevrolet.